Welcome to Coffee with Source. My name is Emma and I'm your hostess. Happy March 1st. Whenever you're listening to this, it doesn't matter, but it was really in my heart to wish you all a wonderful month of March. Spring is just around the corner and it's got me feeling all sorts of ways. I also wanted to take a few seconds to talk to you guys about a program that I've been working on for over a year. It's been out of the beta testing phase now for over 6 months, and this quick and efficient mindset makeover program has brought healing, transformation, and enlightenment to many women's lives. I've held back from talking about my coaching practice, my hypnotherapy practice on this podcast because I figured this was my passion project. But someone told me recently that by not sharing what it is that I do, the healing and transformation that I facilitate in this world, that I'm doing a disservice. I took that to heart because my only intention is always to serve and to help facilitate expansion and healing. Because today is March 1st, I felt compelled to share with you that enrollment has begun for the 6-week Mindset Makeover program. What's unique about this coaching bundle is that it is one-on-one, it is private, and it includes cognitive behavioral therapy, NLP, mindset coaching, energetic alignment, and hypnotherapy. The program is designed to help you identify the root cause of your limiting beliefs, anxiety, patterns and behaviors that are no longer serving you and keeping you feeling stuck. It's designed to help you get very clear on where you are, where you'd like to be, and what is required of you energetically, emotionally, and physically in order to help you reach your goals and set you on your path. It's 6 weeks, it's short, it's sweet, and it's designed for us to see if we're an energetic match for a more long-term program if that is something that you require or desire. Enrollment has begun. There are 4 spaces. Every month I open up 4 spaces because all of the programs are one-on-one. And it's my duty to ensure that I am available to you to help guide you and facilitate your journey. If you're interested in learning more, please visit emmanuelchase.com, Chase is with 2 S's, or email me, emma@rapidtransformation.ca. There are 4 spots for March, and if you'd like to be on the waiting list for April, please go ahead and send me an email. Not only is this program designed based on my life experience, my healing journey, my skills, qualifications, and certifications, but it is based on the intention of bringing real change, real healing, and real transformation to anyone who seeks it at an affordable price. Thanks for listening. Enjoy this episode. Welcome to this incredible episode of Coffee with Source. My guest today is Randa Hoffman. She's a spiritual financial planner. Guys, this is it. I'm looking forward to this episode because as I've grown into my spiritual path over the last couple of years, shedding the conditioning and unlearning so many limiting beliefs, especially around money, has been incredible. it's been hard, okay? It's been difficult because when you are in an environment for most of your life in which everyone around you either glorifies money or hates money or has some kind of unhealthy relationship with the energy of money, you tap into that and you absorb all of it. And so when comments are made about people who have money, and instead of being, you know, supportive and encouraging comments. It's like, well, this person has way more money than they could ever spend. They should share it. It's ignorant to have that much money. Or, you know, we've all heard money is evil. And growing up in the Catholic Church, it's giving is very important. Giving, even when you don't have. So, you know, giving money to the basket at church was super, super, super important. But saving money for a rainy day, that didn't have the same importance. And so all of these beliefs were ingrained in me for so long. And although I knew in, you know, in my inner being that of course money isn't evil, nothing can be evil. That is just a perception. It's still that little judgment. And I know you guys will feel this one, but that little judgment in the back of your head when someone, you know, just either passes you on the highway in a really nice sports car, or you see a Lambo, you see a Ferrari, you see a nice Porsche, and you're sitting there with that little hint of judgment, like, I wonder, did daddy buy them that car? Where did they get their money? Must have been a fluke. They must have inherited it. And that is where, for me, on this conscious awakening and this journey, I knew I had to stop that judgment. First of all, it was not allowing my expansion as a human being to be stuck in judgment, but also coming to the realization that none of those limiting beliefs belong to me. The truth is, I feel super neutral about money. I understand that in this 3D reality, it is something that is necessary and required for us to rent our space on this planet. And I'm not going to get into that rant, because even that I think is just, the whole concept and structure is man-made. So I understand, and you know, that's an exchange of energy as well. It's kind of like I do my part on this earth and I receive some energy and I give it back so that I can continue to live on this earth. I mean, in a decent home with my kids. But then I also understand that the more I'm willing to put myself out there, the more that I'm willing to take inspired action, the more that I'm willing to do as a human being. And this doesn't just apply to me, myself, and my coaching business, or my practice as a hypnotherapist, or the energy healing that I do. It is really just about whatever you do in your career, your job, your business, whether you're a restaurant owner or you're a hairstylist. The amount of energy that you decide to put into your business, to invest into yourself, so that every time you come in contact with another human being, you are helping elevate the consciousness on this earth. You are helping elevate and raise the vibes in some way, whether it's with a compliment, a smile, knocking off a 5% discount, or just doing it really well, doing your job really well. In charging an appropriate amount of energy, aka money, for it, then we're good. And so learning to have this neutral mindset of it, and sort of putting the emphasis back on me and saying, I am going to reflect my worth, and I'm not there yet, because this conditioning has taken a really long time to unlearn. Truth be told, it wasn't probably until the fall of last year that I really understood what feeling worthy meant. Feeling worthy of nice things, feeling worthy of a nice home, feeling worthy of a nice car, feeling worthy of a healthy relationship, feeling worthy of receiving kindness from my children and respect from other human beings. And I think that is the primary lesson. Understanding your worth, and not in a sassy, basic bitch kind of way of like, of course I deserve everything. Of course I deserve it. No. Feeling worthy and believing we deserve are two different things. So doing the work and really stepping into our worth, unlearning the conditioning and shedding the limiting beliefs, and then embodying that worth, right? Setting up boundaries, making sure that you're monitoring your time so that when you are engaged with others, it is again to help elevate the consciousness. It is inspired action. We're not wasting our time. We're not buying into that old conventional structure that work has to be hard, that you have to work really hard for money. The truth is, it's an energy exchange. Working hard for me means something completely different than what working hard for you is. But I hold myself to a different standard. Maybe your working hard looks like working 20 hours a week. Maybe my working hard looks like working 40 hours a week. Maybe someone else's working hard is 60 hours a week, but that has to be personal to the individual. That's when we get caught up in judgment, and that's when we get all tangled up in the energy of money. Anyways, I'm done with my rant, but this is a topic that lights me up because it trips so many people up. There are so many limiting beliefs, fear of success, fear of failure, fear that money is evil, fear that having too much of it will corrupt you and change you. Guys, our job here on earth is to have fun. Everybody wants freedom, financial freedom. But knowing why you want that financial freedom, that's what will give you the wisdom. That's what will put those little breadcrumbs of how to achieve that financial freedom in front of you. You see, because saying, I want to be financially free, I want to be a millionaire, that's not enough. Because source flows through you. So until you tap into your worth and you tap into your inkling, you don't have to have it all figured out, but an inkling of what your purpose is, repeating your mantras and doing your affirmations and saying, I'm going to be a millionaire, I'm going to be a millionaire. Yeah, you're going to have a healthier mindset towards money. But until you embody your worth and you figure out why it is that you want to be financially free, you can't expect the miracles. The miracles have to come from within you. You got to shed the judgment of money. You have to get really clear about what that financial freedom will mean to you. What will it look like to you? What will you do with the time? What will you do with the extra financial energy once you have it? That's what it's about. And yeah, that work sucks. It's not easy. Because when you realize that this whole time you were wishfully thinking that everything would magically work out, but you were avoiding the one thing you had to face, which is that feeling of worthiness, then it kind of sucks. But once you face yourself, once you face yourself and you understand that it is just an exchange of energy and that you are worthy and deserving of everything, your attitude and perceptions change and you see opportunities everywhere. Like I said, this is something that I've just recently really, really connected the dots to. So I'll check in a few months with Rand and maybe go on another rant and tell you how that's going. Since I've decided to embody that energy of worthiness, that magnetic energy. Okay, that's all. Thanks for being here. Enjoy the episode. Welcome to Coffee with Source, Randa.
Thanks for having me. This is really cool.
I am so excited to have this chat with you. Please share with me and our listeners a little bit about you and what you do.
Okay, so this is going to sound a little off-ball, right? I'm a little oddball here, so I'm going to sound a little like what? So
that's why you're here.
I fit right in. So I'm a spiritual financial planner. And people think as financial planning is finance, it's just the numbers, right? But really, are we really just born to work, save X amount of dollar, retire at 65, and then, if we're still alive, start living our best life? Really?
Shit.
Right? That's what everybody's soul came to do? Scrap that. Forget about it.
I have felt that way my entire life. I have felt that it is so backwards.
Yeah. And so I question, you know, what we do is a guided visualization with the client, and we find out, in short, you know, there's more to it, but we find out what's their soul's blueprint. What's the theme of their soul? What are they here to accomplish? What's their soul's mission? And from that, we create the plan, the financial plan and the non-financial plan.
Have you ever worked with anyone or done a visualization where this person was just meant to not be financially free? They were meant to experience poverty.
Oh, that's such a good question. Oh my God, I just got goosebumps when you said that. It's so interesting. The short answer is no, because if they're coming to me, there's some sort of desire and want and help to get to some place, right? There's that heart pulling, that heart tug. And so here's the thing. If that is the case, I don't know of that.
Interesting.
I don't know of that. And I would not know of that. You know, it's almost like my guides, you know, somebody asked me about, do you know when my mom, you know, their mom is like 89. Do you know when mom's going to pass away? And my spirit team are like, no, that's off limits. That question's off limits.
It doesn't work that way.
Yeah. And there's some stuff our elder self or higher self, you know, the person who we tap into in the guided visualization will not tell us. There's things that that elder self will never tell us because it's something we have to experience on our own.
So they won't tell you if you're destined for poverty.
Maybe not. Yeah. Maybe so. I haven't had a client yet, you know, but maybe not. There's things when we do the guided visualization. So what we do, it's really like a 5-minute thing. It's not very long. I have the client go and visit their elder self. This is the self that has already lived the life. It's the 97, 98 year old self that has lived the life following their heart's calling and fulfilled their soul's mission. And we ask the elder self, what did you do? Where did you go? Who were you with? What did you accomplish? And the client just sits there listening to the elder self, which we know is their higher self, right? And then we come back, you know, thank you. Always thank them for 3 times, right? Thank you. We come back and we create a journey map. What did your elder self tell you? Did she say this? Did he say that? What did he tell you about this? And I'm intuitive. So I'm, you know, me and my spirit team are working together with their spirit team. And so that's how we created. And a lot of times it's, wow, there's more to me than what I'm doing right now.
That's what I was going to say. Is there some type of resistance? Like your higher self is meant for so much more, but you're in a place in your life where that just seems impossible.
Or they haven't tapped into it yet.
Right.
A lot of people, like, they cry because they're tapping into something that is, we forgot, you know, as growing up from children, we forgot our connection to our own higher self. You know, one client, she cried. She's like, I never felt this love for myself before, you know, because there's a part in there. I just kept saying, your higher self just wants you to know that she loves you. She loves you. And I just kept saying it. She's like, I've never felt that before. So it's more of a, you know, I call it, I just want to awaken that divine spark in people.
Yeah. I love that. I love that. Does your spirit team ever give you nuggets of wisdom on what we're actually supposed to be doing here on Earth in terms of, you know, these structures have been built to keep us confined and in alignment with whatever governs our world? But do they ever give you nuggets of, this is actually how it's supposed to be? You're supposed to have fun and explore and discover.
Absolutely. It's so funny that you say that. Oh my God. Yes. So I was talking to a client and he is a young manager and his team is much older than him. So at work, he's very serious, like take me seriously. Right. But he's carried that feeling and vibration and belief to his personal life and his team and my team. And they're like, chill out, just go have fun. You know, and I told him, like, he's like, I think my life is, there's a lot, there's more to it. I'm like, yeah. And they're trying to help you out, but you need to have fun because they really can't get a hold of you. Like they're trying to tell you. And so just go have fun. So yeah, there's always nuggets of information. What we don't get, And people are like, oh man, what we don't get is, okay, next year on this date, you're going to go start this business, right? Here's this, you're going to hire this, and then you're going to get this. No.
And that's part of the lesson, is surrendering the need to control the outcome, right? That's where the magic and the success happens, is when you're able to surrender to the dream and desire and allow it to show up in ways you never imagined.
It is. That's the hardest thing. Even have to keep reminding myself that
every day.
Seriously.
Every day. I'm like, where's that manifestation? Where's my Tesla?
I have high vibration. Come on.
No, I'm in alignment.
Yes.
But then you'll get little nudges or, you know, little miracle moments throughout the day. And you're like, really? That's how it's going to show up. Mm-hmm. I never could have planned it or imagined it or dreamt it in that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what is the meaning of life?
Honestly, my definition of it is to live, to be in alignment with your higher self. In other words, saying it is to live a life that you truly fulfilled your soul's mission.
Yeah. Truly. And that's different for everyone.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We're so unique. You know, our soul's mission is it's like our thumbprint. It is so unique to us. It's a blueprint. Our blueprint. Yeah.
And it's something that I encounter every day. And a lot of the mindset work that I have to do in my practice is allowing people to tap into the possibilities, right? Because from the time we're born, we're bombarded with these beliefs that are not our own. And from our caregivers and the education system, from our culture, our faith, all of these opinions and judgments and beliefs that are projected onto us. And it becomes very difficult to hear our own inner wisdom, to tap into our own guidance system. And so as we follow the structures of the we shoulds, and we do all of this, I usually meet women at a point in their lives where they feel so stuck, but they don't know why. Many of them are happily married or in loving relationships and have children and have the home and have the cars and have the things. And they don't know, and I'm getting chills everywhere. They don't know what's wrong with them. And they feel shame and guilt for this, but it's having spent an entire lifetime focusing on the shoulds and meeting expectations of society and the world around them and never focusing internally.
Yeah. Yeah,
I feel we've mislabeled midlife crises, and I've said that so many times, because it's so often in our early to mid 40s where we go, okay, what in the heck? I did all the things I was supposed to do and I'm not feeling the zing.
Yeah.
You know, like, okay, I did it. What's next?
Yeah. Yeah. And not to get confused between, we have several life purposes,
right?
Not just one life purpose.
No.
So for example, somebody like that you're talking to, her life purpose was to go along this path to grow,
to become a mother, to become a wife, do those things.
Yes. Now what's next? What's my next life purpose, right? What's next? And we are going into, you know, there's a lot of changes happening on planet Earth, a lot of beautiful changes.
There's a huge conscious awakening.
Yes. Absolutely. And so many people are starting to question, what am I really here for? What am I really here for? Like, enough fucking around. Excuse my French. Like,
no,
enough messing around.
Like, and that's the question I've been asking myself as long as I've been conscious.
Yeah.
I remember being really little and watching grownups, you know, do certain things or just like everyday things or put so much importance on things. And I would think, that's going to be my life. Worrying about bills and getting groceries and making sure the house is spotless and you can't have company over until the house is clean and, you know, doing all of these things and never expanding this, like, really?
Yeah.
Why is no one talking about the stars? Why does no one ever wonder, where are we from? Why are we here? What are we made of? What's our purpose? Right.
Huh, that's such an alien, Anne. That's such an alien question.
But it's true. And I used to feel so alone in that. And as you said, there's been such a conscious awakening. And part of the mission behind this podcast is for me selfishly to connect with like-minded people, because I want to make sure I'm not alone in this thought process.
Oh my God. That's so funny. Yeah. You might want to see if you are an alien, actually. Seriously, I'm not being sarcastic or silly about it. Like for real, you know, because we come to Earth, we're like, this is so weird. What's going on?
Yeah. So bizarre. I remember looking at the stars and, you know, yes, 8, 9, 10 years old and thinking like, okay, I want to go home. Ooh, I'm getting chills. Yes. And wondering like, okay, why do I feel that way? Home is here, but why do I want to go home when I look at the sky or the moon?
Yes.
Right. Yes. Like just gazing up at the sky and feeling like, okay, well, this was fun.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
But then sharing that, because you sound absolutely crazy.
Yeah. 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 It's a star seed. We're star seeds. Yeah. Yeah. And some star seeds come to be light workers, you know, and a light worker can be in any field. Like I'm a light worker and I just happen to choose the modality of finance, you know, but that's just, you know, and so, yeah. Yeah.
So you didn't wake up one morning, or maybe you did, and you were like, I'm going to be a spiritual financial guru, or I can be a nurse, right? Or a dental hygienist. So how did this path come to be for you?
I actually started in IT, in information technology. I was a project manager in IT. And I did that for 12 years. And I remember sitting at my desk thinking, I used to read Forbes. I love Forbes. You know, I'm so geeky like that. And I'm like, oh yeah, this is so cool. But I remember sitting at my desk and thinking, if I continue on this path, I will be forgotten. And I don't want to be forgotten. And so I really questioned, what do I want to do? I'm like, all I knew is I wanted to be out in the world. Who's the movers and shakers? What are people doing? I want to be on that leading edge. What is that? I need to be a part of that. And so I liked finances. And so when our IT project got scrapped, we got a 2-month notice and a severance package. I'm like, oh my God, this is awesome opportunity. After I cried my eyeballs off, then I'm like, okay, now it's an awesome opportunity. And off I went. So I'm a career changer into finance. So I started my career at Edward Jones.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Yep. So have you always had a spiritual practice? Has that always been part of your life, or did that happen with the severance package?
Yeah, no. I first tapped into one of my spirit guides. So she's the most dominant one. When I was about 3 years old, so I was born in Saudi Arabia. And at night in Saudi Arabia, everybody goes out, you know, because it's so freaking hot during the day. So if you go out on the beach, then everybody is out on the beach at night. And so I got lost on the beach, and that's the first time I really tapped into my spirit guide and kind of to figure out how to get back and who to ask. And so I didn't, you know, I just thought nothing of it, right? Until I was about 25. And 25, when I was 25 is really, I started along the journey of there's more than just this humanness and just come and do, you know, like you're saying, come and cook and do work. And there's more to this humanness. There's a universe. There's my spirit guides. I learned about my spirit guides. I learned about me, you know, and so, yeah, I've been on this journey for about, what am I? I'm 41. So about 16 years. So
that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. So why is it that we generally have such a lack mindset and mentality? Why is it so ingrained in us to be hoarding and selfish with things and very me, myself, and I, when we are all interconnected, right? We are all a collective consciousness. So why is it so ingrained in us that we have to just work for ourselves and what we have, and that we're not aware of the abundance that we allow ourselves to believe that I'm worth $40,000 a year and I'm going to have to work for this company for 40 years and then I'll retire? Why do we buy into that?
You know, and I think it goes back to what you're saying, like a lot of it is how we were raised, but I'm seeing parents with younger kids and they're allowing them to stay open and talk about spirituality. So it's shifting. But I think for you and I, with our parents, like that's what they did. And that's what they did because they didn't know any different, right? They didn't know any different. And so that was the mentality. You have to work and this is your dollars and this is your career. And if you take that job, that means I'm not going to succeed. And oh, so I'm not going to let you take the job because I want it, right? There's that, but we're starting slowly, slowly. We're starting to realize if I help you get that job, then it's going to come back to me tenfold. Like seriously, there's so much more to it. We just need to keep having the conversation. We just need to keep having the conversation. And slowly we start dropping the ego.
Get comfortable with it.
Yeah. And slowly start dropping the ego.
Yeah. Because even, you know, people who are successful, many of them don't talk about it, talk about their success in fear of judgment and opinions of what people will think and how they'll be viewed and regarded. And that's a lesson that I'm learning as I go on. You know, it's like somebody asks, or they'll say, oh, wow, what a nice mug. I'll say, oh, thanks. It's nothing. It was a gift. Right. Or like when something's really nice or you've earned something, it's like, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
We don't want to make others feel bad around us.
Yeah. That's so interesting. Yeah. I have not. It's just, yes, that is so true.
So how do we push through our money blocks?
This is interesting because some of it is deep. Mm-hmm. There's some deep energy blockages there. Some of it is just a little different, you know, tweak of a mindset. So everybody is so different, right? That's where that journey map is so freaking powerful, because once we start putting things on there, the next cat from the elder self, the next category is what obstacles? What obstacles do you feel to accomplish this life your elder self lived? And the third category is what keeps you up at night. So once we keep putting things on there, we start seeing patterns. And it's so interesting because the client is, listen, I rarely do any of the work. Let's be real. The client is the one who's putting it on there. And the client wants the one that starts seeing patterns of behaviors, of blockages.
But what if your higher self, you know, imagines this wonderful life for you and you get all emotional and you're like, oh, yes, that resonates. And then the next step is, well, what are your obstacles? And you're like, well, it's the finances to get there. And what keeps you up at night? Well, it's the lack of money.
Yeah. Yeah. So there we go. There's a financial plan.
Okay. You know?
and that's what financial planning is, because now it's like, okay, we have this life we're creating, but we're here, you know, and don't forget your elder self is 97, 98 plus years old. He had so much life to already live this, and we're starting here. Right. So here we go. Let's start creating a financial plan. Let's get this, let's do this. Yeah. Yeah.
And there's a barrier, right? There's an age barrier. So many people feel you have to be successful in your 20s and 30s.
Oh, I hate that.
Right? The older you get, it's like, oh, you're pushing 40. It's too late for you. You should have started investing when you were 20. And that goes back to that lack mentality.
You know why, Emma? Because the typical, and I'm going to say the typical, the traditional financial advisor, this is why people don't want to talk to us. Because they've heard this over and over. Ugh, why didn't you save like 20 years ago? Well, now you need to save $10,000 a month to get to retire. Yep. Like, thanks a lot. Well, I already know that. Thanks for making me feel worse. Yep. You know, we don't even go around that. We don't even do the way I do this. It almost goes around the money problems. And we come to the subconscious mind and like, surprise, we're here. We're talking about money and you didn't get scared. So guess what? It's fun and exciting.
You didn't feel the discomfort.
Yeah. Yeah. So the barriers don't come up. Mm. And I said, listen, I'm very intuitive. I know when barriers come up and I know how to soothe people. Right. Yeah. So it's like, yeah, it's okay. We got this.
I love it.
Yeah.
And is it possible for someone who's in their mid-40s, late-40s, early-50s to accomplish their spiritual financial plan of freedom, even though that hasn't been possible for them?
Let me ask you, does a soul's mission end at 40 or 50?
I don't believe so.
Then no. Then the answer is no. As long as you have breath going in, we have shit we need. Sorry, I keep cussing. We have stuff we need to do.
The spirits get it out.
Yeah. Like they are so clear in that. They're so clear in that, you know, and I'm just sitting with this, and that people really need to start, come on, we really need you to start doing this. Come on, people, come on. And honestly, we have soul contracts with people. You and I have a soul contract. Mm-hmm. Our soul contract was, Randa, when you get to this place as a financial advisor, a spiritual financial advisor, then Emma's going to come into the picture and you guys are going to do a pot. That's our soul contract, right? It could be more. I don't know. There are people waiting for these people to fulfill and become whatever it is that they need to become. There are people waiting for you this person.
Yeah. And I love that.
Yeah. There's no place. It expires at 40. You know, and it could be like, well, you know, this person you missed out because it was something that you were supposed to do in your 20s. Mm. Of course, you know, it's more complicated than that. I can't, you know, but never stop living. What if there's
is it part of your inner knowing if you're someone, for example, I mean, I was looking at yachts. I've been very interested in yachts lately, you know, the last year or so, and caught a glimpse of this reality TV show, and I was like, oh, and it's in my astrology chart that I'm, you know, meant to do these transcontinental voyages on the sea, and I love cruising and I love the ocean. So I was like, oh my god, yeah, of course. And I'm flipping through these yachts and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's only $5 million for this one. Oh my gosh, it's only $7 million for this. Now realistically, I do not have $5 million. I do not have $7 million. You know, there's nowhere near that. But that's my energy. That's my belief. It's like, oh, $7 million and you can live on this gorgeous yacht. And the people I was having the conversation with, they're like, well, that's impossible.
Mm.
It's impossible. You're pushing 40, then you need a crew, and then you need 10% of the value of the yacht. And I'm like, okay, so, you know, you need $500,000 a year and you've got a crew, you've got a chef. And for me, it's so light to talk about it.
Yeah.
Is that part of your inner knowing that financial freedom is imminent, or?
Yeah, and there's some work.
Or is that just being totally immature and unaware and off kilter and a little cuckoo? Because it can be perceived in two ways.
Oh, it definitely can. I mean, I'm an Aries and we are, I mean, and I'll speak for myself, maybe very Pollyanna. I am so, everything is awesome. Everything is hunky-dory. Yeah. You know, and on the Aries side, we're very childlike. How hard can it be? Y'all have all figured out. How hard can
it be? Very Libra-ish too.
Yeah. We'll figure it out. I'm so resilient, resourceful. It's okay. But people will be like, Randa, you're starting a firm in a state you don't know anybody in a pandemic. Think this through. How hard can it be?
And you want a yacht.
Yeah.
And in 5 years, you know?
And you know what? If somebody comes to me like that, I say, let's work on it. Let's work on it. Who am I to say, oh, you can't accomplish that? That has happened to me throughout my entire life. Mm-hmm.
Possible. Let's scale that down.
Yeah.
Or you're making you a canoe or maybe kayaking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who you're like, I want a fucking kayak. I want to have a yacht.
I want a yacht. So who am I? So let's see what we can do. We might hit it. We might not hit it. I don't know. You might come into a windfall of $10 million and like, oh my God, who am I? Who am I to damper your light?
Yeah.
Who am I?
Yeah. And I think, is it for you seeing if the person is willing to take the inspired action behind the desire, or you know, because wanting a $5 million yacht is all fine and dandy, but if you're Netflix and chilling at night and you're working at the corner store, you're not willing to break free from that.
Yeah.
And your parents, or you're not expecting an inheritance, then it's kind of like, okay, cool. I mean, that's, it's an awesome thing. Put it on your vision board versus meeting someone who's like, okay, what must I do to get there or to facilitate that?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I think that's the power of the guided visualization, because they tapped into them, not what I say they should do or this or that, right? They tapped into them on a bigger scale. Like, listen, don't get me wrong. I want the private jet and the yacht and in the mansion. Like, I do too. Like, I love toys, right? But they tapped into something that is so massive, they're willing to put effort into it.
Right.
They're willing. And if they're not, then we don't become clients anymore. And that is A-okay. That is A-okay. I'm just here whenever they are, if they're ready.
Do you tweak your, because I'm assuming you use these exercises for yourself. And so making a financial plan and seeing your life through this guided visualization, is that expandable? Is that alterable as you go on? Because right now I want a yacht and that sounds fine, but I might have 10 grandbabies in 5 years and no longer want a yacht because that's not practical, and want a $10 million house on the beach. So is it still the same principle?
Yep. So we always go visit the elder self, not every month, like it could be every 6 months, every once a year, right? We always go visit the elder self.
Because tire her out.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks a lot. No. We always want to go visit her because she always has something different for us to share when we're ready to hear it. So when we go visit in 6 months or in a year, we're in a different place and we're ready to hear something different. And so she'll say something. And sometimes that desire for the yacht was to put you along, or to kind of nudge you along a certain path. That was just the trigger to get you on that path. And it's like, oh, screw the yacht. I want that over there. What's that? This life. But you have to have the craving for the yacht to look at this path. To
allow the synchronicities.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
And so what, because so many people think that money is evil.
Oh my God. I know.
The time.
How sad is that? No, that makes me so mad.
How sad is that? So how do you debunk that?
Oh, okay. Money is not evil. It's the energy of the person that does with the money. So money has its own energy. You know, it truly has its own energy. Some people even say the energy of money and sex are the same vibration. So money has its own energy. What it does, it just is a magnifying glass, what's internal to the individual. So for example, I am such a generous person. Like when I was in IT, I would want to share my lunch with everybody because it was so good. I'm like, you want to try this? You want to try this? And people were like, oh my God, Randa, no. It's like, really? You know, just so then add money to that. I just want to share it. Or who wants it? You know, and of course, responsibly and all that stuff. But if you are not you, but you know, if a person is like clinching onto their dollars, the more money they have, the clinchier they're going to get. They're like, oh, I don't want to let go of it.
It's, I love that you said that. For me, the purpose of being financially free and wealthy and prosperous has always been to share.
Yeah.
Right. To afford the beautiful meals and the nice restaurants, to go on the beautiful vacations with family and friends, and to give back and to do work in your community. That's always, for me, the definition of financial freedom.
Yes. And honestly, Emma, if I tell people, don't deprive another person of your wealth. There are people waiting for you to be wealthy so you can help this charity, so you can create that thing, so you can create that nonprofit, so you can, don't deprive those other people because you're depriving yourself. Yeah. If you feel awkward having the wealth, welcome it in, because obviously it's attracted to you. So welcome it in and give it out. Donate as much as you can. Really, the nonprofits will love you. So
it's true.
Yeah.
It's true. Do you feel that it's more women who have energy blocks when it comes to money, or do you feel that it's equal between the masculine and feminine?
The masculine, and mostly it's because they have a lot of burden on their shoulder. You know, their responsibility is for the family, take care of the family. That's what keeps them up at night. I just want to make sure the family's okay. I just want to make sure that's them.
The provider.
Yeah, man, that's so heavy on their heart. Sometimes it's just so heavy on their heart. But women, it's so interesting. Women is, if they're not working, then it's almost like, do I matter? What's my self-worth related to dollars? That's what they're relating their self. Well, I don't have any dollars, so I don't have self-worth. Right. So it's like, well, let's create an investment account that's just yours. This is your account.
Yeah.
Your account. Yeah. Yeah. And for the ladies that are working, oh my God, they're like bossing the guys around. No, it's not that extreme, but they're, a lot of my female clients that are in relationships, they're the one taking care of the finances. And I'm not just talking about the finances in the day-to-day household, which we have done traditionally, the traditional, but we haven't done long-term. We haven't done investment finances, but now I'm starting to see that. I'm starting to see that the women are the ones that are meeting with the financial advisors, and the guys are like, oh, okay, you just do whatever you want. Just make sure we're okay.
Love that role reversal.
It's so beautiful. I love it. And I'll always invite the spouse to come, but a lot of times they're like, oh, I don't want to come. This is boring. My wife got it. So it's really cool.
In your connection with spirit, and your spiritual practice, very eloquent. Can that be shaped in a way to allow you to receive more guidance and nudges towards financial freedom and wealth and an abundance mindset?
Oh, listen, I'm still human at the end of the day. At the end of the day, I meditate every morning. We have a meditation circle. I sit in the living room and everybody has a seat. Everybody has assigned seating. So I have three spirit guides, my higher self. A lot of times Jesus comes in, which I just love it. I have such a crush on him. I'm not religious. But him as a human being, he is so sweet and kind. And that's why I named the firm after him, because we're both radiant. So he's such a sweetie. But sometimes I sit there and I cry and I cry and he just puts his arms around me. I'm like, this, I'm just having a hard day. I'm still human. Mm-hmm. I still work with Archangel Michael and Raphael. He's like my favorite. I'm like, okay, I need some help today. Can you just help the mind and the soul? Can you just help me? And so, yeah. Mm-hmm. But what I think it does, it makes me feel like I'm not alone.
Yeah.
It's like, so I'm just going to hang out here and you guys are going to do their thing.
It's fine. Hang out with Jesus and the archangels and
he's a sweetie.
Leave the world,
Yeah. And it's funny. They were telling me like, Randa, yesterday I was talking to, we talk a lot. They're like, Randa, we're really busy up here. You might think we're here twiddling our thumbs, but we're not. We have a lot of work just for you. Now imagine what we're doing for everybody. Like, we're really busy.
Yeah, because you're like, excuse me, I asked my question 20 minutes ago. Where's my sign?
Hello.
I love that. I love that you have such an open conversation with them. Because I'll say funny. That all the time. I was just talking to them and they're like, you were talking to who? And I'm like, never mind.
Yeah. Oh, see, I'm very clear with my clients. I sit there, I'm like, oh, the team says, or the spirit team, oh, they want you to know. I'm like, okay, hold on. Or I would say, like, hold on, let me just sit with this. And I'll like, we're having a conversation. I'm like, what do you mean? Yeah. Like, how do I say that? I'm very transparent about it.
Who's the one to go to for abundance and money and tapping into wealth mindset?
Okay. So there is, and you could go, listen, if you Google it, they'll give you six of them, six archangels, 20 archangels. So here's the thing. There's different archangels for different things, right? The one related to money, actual money, you can even ask Archangel Ariel.
Okay.
Ariel. And so look into Ariel and what her colors are and how she vibrates and stuff. And then just sit and feel her, or just feel her colors swirling around you. You know, so if she's gold, right? Swirling around you. I like Archangel Raphael, like, please help me mentally. Sometimes, you know, like I just have a block, or I have a heavy on my chest. Like, just help me, just help me soothe, right? So just soothe. Yeah. Or you can just ask, you know, the Archangels of Abundance.
I like that. I remember watching a video last year about one of the Archangels is really tech savvy.
Oh, which one?
I'm not the techiest. I want to say Mikael. I think I forget now. Mikael?
I don't know. I don't know all of them. Yeah.
There's one of them. And I remember praying there when my Bluetooth thing wouldn't work. And then the laptop wouldn't work, and going, this is insane. This is insane. How, you know, and you know what? It always fixes itself, or I'll always find the solution, or I'll be pointed to the right video or the right instructions. And it's remarkable if you have an open mind.
Yeah. We're really not alone. So stop thinking that we're trying to control everything. Just relax and just relax so they can help. Like they want to help so bad. They want to help so bad, but we just have to ask for it, because they cannot help without our asking. They can't interfere. So we have to ask. Yeah.
I say that every day. I'm like, I know about the whole free will thing, but just do the thing.
Just like, it's okay. I'm asking, just whatever it is. Even if I'm not
asking. Do the thing. You have my permission. Where do I sign? The next 30 days. Just do the thing. When you see me going that way, and I should be just do the trip me, flip my body over.
That's awesome.
Well, why not? So what have you learned since starting your own practice in your own firm and leaving the old version of yourself behind and moving forward with your purpose?
Oh, I love this. You do really good questions. This is a really good one. I love this. I learned how gifted I am. And I learned how to bring that to the forefront, and not gifted in an egoic way. I'm so awesome. Sometimes I am, but you know, not in that way. Yeah.
but more, so many people are afraid of their power. So I think what you're saying is very important.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so gifted. And to bring it to the forefront, because I would always meditate, but then I would sit with the clients and, okay, let's do your financial plan, very traditional way, right? And I was like, no, you got to bring it to the forefront. You have to show up whole. Because
part of who you are.
Yes. Yes.
And it's funny because I always ask questions and you always get the answer, right? If you pay attention. And I watched this docuseries with Demi Lovato where I'm not sure if you've seen it, where she's going out and she's trying to have these experiences with extraterrestrials. And, you know, I sat there and meditated that night and I was like, well, why can't I meet extraterrestrial beings? I'm hearing of, what is her name? Elizabeth April. Demi Lovato's made contact. I want to meet the beings. And sure enough, the very next day, the first video that pops up on one of my feeds is this guy talking about his experience connecting with extraterrestrials and the beings and how benevolent they are and all of this. And he says, but you know, they come to those who they know will talk about it, who will share, because they have so much wisdom and messages to share. And I sat with that and I was like, I'm really grumpy about this, because now I have to do the work, go inside myself and ask, would I share?
Oh.
Right? If I had an encounter with, you know, a being of some sort that would come into my room, like these people are saying they have, you know, would I share it? How would I feel about it? I would think it was so cool in the moment, but would I share?
What would hold you back from sharing?
Well, that's the thing. And that's the questions I've been asking, because I'm like, I know I'm on the cusp of something. I see things that are kind of strange that no one else sees, or that people will be like, yeah, that's just a light. And I'm like, that's not a light. But
you're like, that's my peeps. What do you mean that's like, a light?
Hello, I'm home. where's the helipad? But that's what I asked myself. And I think that's the that's one of the, I don't want to say downsides or downfall, but when we meditate and we ask and we uncover what part of our mission is, and we allow ourselves to take a glimpse at our power, sometimes it terrifies us because it's uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And so half of it resonates, right? And the other half is like, but how? Because we've been so conditioned to play small.
Yeah. You know, and it's so interesting because when you meditate, you can invite your galactic light being, by the way. You can invite your galactic light being and just to give it an image, and it will sit in front of you, you know, and just see it, and you can communicate with it. And it would only be come to you through your higher self. If your higher self wouldn't allow anything else to come to you, like negative. So just trust in that.
So yeah. From my galactic light being.
Yeah. And it will be sentient. And sometimes, you know, God, you know, imagine there's God and goddess.
What?
Yeah.
I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You learned that you are gifted.
Mm.
And
mm-hmm.
Are you okay with that? Does that resonate with you now?
Oh, I love it. Are you kidding me? Yeah. I've always talked to my spirit guides. Not always. I take that back. You know, my spiritual teacher is Loretta Brown. She's in the Seattle, Washington area. She's my spiritual teacher. So when I met her is when I was like, oh, is that what those are? Oh,
these meeting people who can give a name to the things you've
oh my God, can explain what's going on. And
I've spent hours Googling shit that I cannot find the answer to. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, I'm losing my ever loving mind. And then you'll meet someone and they're like, this represents there you go. This. And you're like, really?
That's it? No. So I've always talked to them, but when it came to finances, I started the guided visualization. Mm-hmm. I did it through many friends. And I'm like, as a proof of concept. Yeah. And I'm like, really? Is this really that good? Like, really? Am I really tapping into
something? So are you saying that your guides gave you the wisdom to help you create the visualization?
Oh, they did. Because I asked them. I'm like, a friend, she's, you know, the whole started, and I'll make it quick, but how it all started is my friend's like, Randy, I have these two business ideas in my head and I can't flesh them out. I'm like, well, let's create, you know, and at the time I was just doing a mind map, you know, like, let's create a mind map. We'll put it on paper and, you know, I'll help you figure it out. And then I'm like, I should do a visualization. And this is before her, my friend and I met. I asked, I'm like, what are we doing? And they're like, hey, just let's do it. Let's practice it right now. So we did it. And I said stuff and they're like, no, tweak it. I said this. And they're like, no, tweak it. Yep. That sounds good. Keep doing that. Yeah. And at the end, I'm like, what was that? What? And I did it with my friend.
It flows.
It flows. Well, we have to tweak it. Cause I would say something. They're like, no, say it this way.
Because we're translating energy.
Yeah.
Translating energy, because oftentimes when I'm writing, you know, when the inspiration is flowing and I'm creating a new program, I'll write something and it comes out like ancient spoken word of the 16th century. Do you get that?
Yes.
Where you're just like, no, that wouldn't fly today. No one would understand. So you're there trying to, you know, make it cool and trendy.
I would keep it.
Which,
absolutely. That was a gift.
Really? Words like forthcoming and of thee. And I'm like, really? This is going to be my signature program.
Absolutely.
Really? Okay,
maybe,
cool.
Maybe put it like in italic. Yeah. Emma, that is exactly what they want you to start sharing. Can you share what you're being given? These are little things. Can you share the and of the world?
Yeah, it's true, isn't it?
Can you share that?
I think so.
You know, maybe put an italic and you put a little thing like, hey, this was just inspired
from source. And that's why this podcast is named that.
Mm-hmm.
The inspiration behind the topic and what I need to learn. There's never one guest that I speak with that there wasn't something in there for me.
Yeah.
And so I think that's that's part of that. But yeah. And just right next to it, like inspired from source.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, if you need that comfort, you know, that comfort blanket, they, you know, they're just saying like, that's just the beginning. She'll get over that. You know,
I love that. Or oftentimes I'll get what we want the world to know, or what we wish women would know. And I'm like, well, I can't write that because it's coming from me.
Nope. Write it. They said, write it.
And then I feel like I'm infringing on some copyright of the wisdom, you know?
Oh,
that's why I have notebooks and notebooks and notebooks of like, okay, what are we going to do with all this?
Yeah. No, they say, write it. And don't worry, because it's coming from your authentic self.
I love that.
You know, so you don't need to worry about any of that. So don't invite any of that energy of infringement or anything in, because it's coming from your authentic self.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that, because I hear a lot collaborating, co-creating.
Oh, yeah.
Co-creating, you know, collaborating. Yeah. See it as a collaboration. We're co-creating together.
Yeah, you know, because we were souls. And, you know, me and the spirit guides and, you know, we're like, okay, listen, who is and we laugh about, we, you know, the team and I laugh about this. I'm like, man, I was a sucker that raised my hand and said I would go to Earth. And you guys are like, yeah, you go. I was like, yeah, I'm going to go. I was like, man, how did you
do that every day? It's so cool. I've never met anyone who says the same thing, but I do that every day. It will happen throughout the day and I will stop and I'll go, really? I signed up for this. I want to see the contract. I want to speak to the manager.
Seriously.
You know? Seriously. Yeah. They really just wanted all of this all at once. I thought I could handle it. None of you wanted to speak up and say, hey, chill, we could do this over a few lifetimes.
Right. Yeah. Well, they're experiencing as much as we are. We want to.
I will ask them that sometimes. I'm obsessed with sunsets. I feel such gratitude for sunsets. And last night, the sky was just pink and beautiful and these hints of magenta. And I will ask them, do you see what I see? Do you see it through my eyes?
Yeah.
Because I feel like sometimes it's part of the experience, or inviting them to see it from, I mean, the beauty they must see is uncomparable, but to feel it through our human bodies, I wonder if they take little snippets of that sometimes.
They feel, I just got goosebumps. They're like this, we feel it like this, like, you know, there's it is in the sun, like, oh, we feel it, but they feel it through you.
They feel it through us.
Through you. Like, you know, and they're like, oh yeah, when she sits there, oh, it's so good for us. Oh yeah, it's so good for us. And they're like, thank you.
I feel that.
Yeah.
You encourage your clients who come to you who may not have a spiritual practice in place to develop one, whatever their faith or religion is, just to tap into something more that's greater than them?
No. And the reason, listen, if they feel inspired to do something, I was talking to a lady and she's like, you know, I like spirituality, but I never found, not like a teacher, but some sort of somebody who can teach me. I guess it is a teacher, but you know, maybe she wasn't referring to a guru, but like somebody who can teach me. And I never found anybody. I'm like, anytime, I got you, girl. That's it. We're doing this. Yes. So if there's inspiration that way, oh my God, I am so on board for that, or to refer them to somebody, or somebody like Sound Bath. So I'm like, here's 10 resources, you know. But if they're not, it is not my choice to tell them that's the path they have to take.
A little inside joke on. tell me about the law of attraction.
Oh, well, it's a universal law. I know we heard this all the time, but what do you want to know about it?
Is that something that you believe in? Is that something that's part of what you teach, to update your thoughts, to match the desired reality and outcome, to raise your vibrations?
Yes and no.
Okay.
I obviously, it's a universal law. It's, you know, within the universe, it's like,
but not everybody knows it.
gravity? Of course not. You know, there's a lot of universal laws that we are not even aware of.
Yeah. Well, I feel like that's something they could have sent to Earth, like plastered it on the side of the pyramid and been like, universal laws.
Wow, how easy and fun life would be. But we didn't come for that.
Yeah.
We came to experience the growth through something we wanted to live at, right? So yes, what I don't like about it, not about it, what I don't like what people have done with it is, okay, if I just sit and meditate and I up my vibration, then I'm going to get every single thing that I want.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't really happen. That's not how life happens. I would love to win. Well, maybe not
do the excavation, the work to get to that place.
But not even that. I mean, I would love to win the lottery. That is not my soul's. It's not going to happen. I can sit and meditate all day long. My soul came to create, to experience life, somewhat challenging, but to create extreme abundance. But it wanted to learn to how to get to extreme abundance how to create it through this experience.
But how do you know you're not meant to win the lottery?
I just know. I feel like
for our listeners, a lot of them might be hoping they're going to win the lottery. So if they can tap into their higher self and sort that out, they could start visualizing something else.
Yeah. And you know what it is? Okay. So let me ask, do people want to win the lottery because they're so unhappy with their current situation that they want something to be different? And if I win the lottery, then I'll be happy. So I just have to be
happy. A lot of it is misguided, right?
Misguided, you know, and don't worry about the lottery. Don't worry about attracting, you know, the Tesla, that's pretty awesome, but don't worry about attracting that or attracting that. What I wish people took away from it, have joy from your heart, live from your heart center with joy, not all the time. I was just talking to my friend. We went on to the beach and had a walk, and she's like, I just wish we felt this good all the time. I'm like, well, we live in a dualistic world. We wouldn't know this extreme.
Yeah, we have to experience the contrast in order to appreciate the ease. Yeah.
Yeah, but the law of attraction, how do you come back to your heart center and come back to that heart center and express heart from your love, have an open heart? That's law of attraction.
That is law of attraction.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything is meant for a reason.
Everything is meant for a reason. Mm-hmm. And we are not meant to have everything we want. This is not God is not like our genie. Like that's not how things work. There's so much, it's more complex than that. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. Might disappoint some people, but
I was going to say, it's kind of sad for them. It's not just one law, right?
That's not just one law.
All of the other laws that go with it.
Yeah.
So what would be your top three tips for our listeners who want to get curious about how to get healthy financially in a more spiritual, open-minded, open-hearted way?
Good question. Okay. So for the guided visualization, I have a podcast, and for the guided visualization, I think it's podcast number 1, 2, 3, podcast number 3. Mm-hmm. Okay. So show number 3, go do the guided visualization, tap into your elder self and ask your elder self. You don't need to ask, just listen to the podcast because I do the guided visualization. So tap into that and figure that out. Then once you have that, I did another podcast on what to do with that, but I'll tell you now, because I don't remember what number that was. So find out what financial steps do I need to take to start, not to get there, because it could be like 40 years from now, because your elder self is already 97, 98 years old. But to start along this journey, what financial steps do I need to take right now? And it could be something, I mean, I'm talking about micro steps.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be massive steps, right? Don't overdo it. Like we want to go from zero to never saving to now saving $1,000 a month. Chill out. It's okay. We could do $100 a month. It's okay. It's okay. Yeah. Yeah. So creating, understanding what this life is that you want and creating, let's say three financial goals for the year, right? And every year come back and just tap into that and sit in silence and listen to the guided visualization. Ask your elder self, okay, what do you want to share?
How do you differentiate the voice of ego and the voice of your higher self when you're doing that meditation?
Oh, yeah. Because people said, well, I did a guided visualization and I thought about this and I thought about that. I'm like, wait, well, no, that's your human mind. We want your spirit mind to come. We're inviting the spirit.
So will it be heart-centered? It'll be something that's based in love.
It's based on love. A lot of times it's just, a lot of times the elder self is calm, it's serene, it's relaxed. It's just calm. So the person isn't answering the questions. The person is just listening.
For the inspiration, the whisper.
Listening to what, because the guided visualization is, you know, your elder self is in a room, let's say, you know, look around the room. And then the elder self closes her eyes or his eyes and says, I had a really good life. And then she looks at you sitting there and she tells you, what about this life was so good? You're just there listening. You're not talking.
Like visiting with grandma.
Visiting with grandma. And just listening to grandma's stories. What is she telling you? But this is your elder self.
And then taking micro steps towards realizing that.
Yeah, write it down. Because that was an honor, that was a gift that your elder self just shared with you. So write it down, everything, where you guys were, how she felt, what was the energy, anything, write it down. And then kind of tease it out, you know, tease it out into like, oh, this stands out. So and I'll say this, for February, I'm doing something called, and I hope this is, Emma, this is okay to share. I'm doing something called February Love, because I love humanity so much. February Love. I am offering as my gift to humanity, a free guided visualization and journey map session. So this is a 90-minute session for free. If there's time on my calendar for February, it's all yours.
That's amazing. I'm going to sign up for that.
You should. It's, oh my God, it is so much fun. I love it. We get to play.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'll send you the link and you can share it with your audience.
That's amazing. This conversation
is
so enlightening.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you for your time and your energy.
Oh, thanks for doing the show.
Thank you. May you please share with our listeners how they can get a hold of you, where they can listen to your podcast and all of that. And for our listeners, all of Randa's information will be in the show notes, but we want to hear it from you.
You know, I'm so easy to find. I'm very social, but instead of giving you 10, 20, or maybe even 30 links, I'm going to make it very simple. Just go to the website. Everything is there. So just go to radiantwealthplanning.com.
I love it.
Podcast is on there, videos, everything is on there. You can sign up.
You've got a new number one fan. That's me.
Yay. Thanks, Emma.
Heart-centered entrepreneurship.
I love it. I love it.
Thank you to all of our listeners, and all of Randa's information will be in the show notes.